us, Lord, this morning. Amen. Because you're the people of God. Hallelujah. The title of today's word is The Way You Wait. And all God's people said,
amen. That's exactly what I wanted this morning. Amen.
Anytime I have the privilege or the joy or the honor to come up on this stage, I always ask God when I'm preparing, God, what do you want to say? I don't come up and just say, oh, this is what I've learned, or here's some wisdom. I always want it to be from God. I never wanted to get that twisted. Amen. So when I was praying over the last week or so, this is the word that God gave me, so this is the word for today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we all have to wait. You can be waiting for a bus. Anyone get the bus? Tell the truth and shame the devil, okay? We're not proud of that, no? Public transport in Ireland is amazing. 10 out of 10. You can be waiting for a paycheck. When's payday?
Friday.
Was it Friday? Anyone Monday, no? No? We delighted we got paid on Friday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's already gone, said someone. Okay. We want to pray about that. Maybe you're waiting for an apology. Or maybe you're waiting a lifetime for something. We all have to wait. And today we're going to look at some biblical principles about how we wait. Because how we wait is really important. Yeah. And God moves in all of it. All of it. A lot of life is waiting. Actually, most of life is waiting, isn't it? A lot of life is waiting. So will you do me a favor? Will you stand with me as we pray? The reason I'm asking you to do that is just we want to honor the Lord, yeah? We want to change our physical posture to show our spiritual posture. And if you're comfortable with this, you can close your eyes to help us concentrate. And if you're more comfortable, you can raise a hand to heaven. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of honoring God. It's a sign of being open to God. Hallelujah. God's presence is here, amen?
Amen.
God, we thank you that while we are waiting, you are working.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Lord, that a wait is never wasted with you. We ask you, God, to forgive us our sins, anything that is blocking you from us, anything that is not of you in our lives, God, we apologize for it. We're sorry, Jesus. And we come to you as your servants. We're listening, Lord. We humble ourselves before you. And in these few moments, God, we ask you to speak to us. Give us your clarity. Confront us, God, where we're going wrong. We want to turn to you. We don't want to do things our way. We want to do it your way. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. And we believe you, Lord, that you have a plan and a hope and a future for us. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. And we thank you in advance for what you're about to do today. And the people of God say,
amen.
Amen. Let's give God a round of applause. Amen. I was travelling home. I was on France. I wish. I was in France for 10 days with Tom and Denise Burke, my parents. I think Denise is watching on Instagram. Say hi, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hey, Mom. How are you doing? So I did 10 days with my parents. That's really good, isn't it? You do 10 days with your parents, you do, you know. Anyway, I was travelling home from France. I had to get two flights. I ended up getting my last flight from London to Cork, and it was the last flight of the day. Yeah. So I was meant to get into Cork at 10:30, but the flight didn't come in till 1:30 in the morning. So I was travelling nearly 16 hours. It was disgusting. Anyway. But here's what I noticed about waiting for a delayed flight. The first thing that I noticed was Ryanair. Of course it would be Ryanair, wouldn't it? Not Aer Lingus. We won't talk about them after the speech, I'm sorry. People are like, I need healing memories of that. But Ryanair, here's what they did. They let us know that the flight was delayed in drips and drabs. So first it was a half an hour, then it was an hour. And you're getting these updates through your phone, right? And life is like that sometimes too, isn't it? We think that we're going to reach a certain goal in our lives, or something's going to shift at a certain age, and you get to it, and then you're waiting some more. That happened to anyone?
Yeah.
Or the other thing that I noticed in the flight being delayed was people had different reactions. Some people were very angry. Very, very angry. And if they were travelling with their family, especially small kids, you could see the arguments play out. Yeah? Or they were shouting or giving out to Ryanair staff. God bless the Ryanair staff. They really don't get paid enough, do they? Oh my days. So some people are angry. Some people, when they got the news of the flights being delayed, they initially just went on their phone and they're on TikTok and they're distracting themselves. Some people went shopping, because you can, and it's duty free, can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And some people were just very cool about it. They had no issue in it. And here's one of the things that God showed me. We're all in the same situation. No amount of money could fix it. That was the last flight from London to Cork for the day. And I checked the other airports to see if I could get home earlier. That was it. There was nothing that we could do or I could do to make the flight come sooner. And life is like that at times, isn't it? And so I was there. I can't say my reaction initially was very holy. I was quite frustrated. I was tired. I was stinking. I was smelly. And I was just like, I just want to get home. And I prayed to God. It's good to pray. And I prayed to God after the third announcement that the flight was delayed. And I prayed to God and I said, God, if you are delaying this flight for my protection, thank you. But if there's something that I'm missing, there's something that you want to do, just speak to me on it. And I was on the phone with a friend, and the friend said to me, God wants you to talk to someone. That's why the flight is delayed. And they were right. I ended up talking to a few people, but one of the people I ended up talking to was someone I hadn't seen in 15 years. I'd grown up with their daughter, and they used to come to our church. And it wasn't a particularly holy conversation. It wasn't me saying, where are you at with God, or how can I pray for you? But it was God ordained. That conversation was from God. And if I had allowed myself to stay angry, I would have missed it. If I had allowed myself to stay on my phone in my own world, I would have missed it. If I went off shopping, I would have missed it. Brothers and sisters, the way that you wait is so important. Because God wants to use it all. And sometimes it's not even about us. It's about other people. Amen? Amen? So that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to look at the book of Exodus. We're going to look at Moses. Was anyone here when I spoke 2 months ago about Moses? No, no one's come to church. Okay, very good. We're going to have to sort that out. But anyway, go watch it back. Anyway, I thought it was a good word. Anyway, but we're looking at Moses again today. And it's Moses and the people of Israel. And the Lord commands them to move from one place. And they end up in a desert. I believe God would say to some people prophetically, you're in a desert right now. God wants to remind you that it was at his command that he's placed you there. Jesus was sent into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. That was at God's command. Sometimes we think our deserts are because we're doing something wrong. It's not always the case. And when you're in the desert and God has sent you there, you need a God miracle, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So they're in the desert, there's no water, and Moses is their leader, right? And they're so angry that they want to kill Moses. And it's not Moses' fault. And when it says they want to kill someone in the Bible, they mean it. Yeah, it's not like in Cork when I kill them, stone dead, it's not that. They actually kill people. And so they're in the desert, they start arguing with Moses, they want to kill him. And Moses' response is to go to God. And he asks God, what do I do? God tells him what to do. Get your staff, hit the rock, and water's going to come out. And this is what we're about to read. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, God bless your word. Amen.
Amen.
Here's what it says, Exodus chapter 17. At the Lord's command, hallelujah, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? And watch this. And why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children and our livestock, with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and cause some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massa, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? Amen.
Amen.
So feel a good word, nice. Hallelujah. Oh my days. Brothers and sisters, in the way that we wait, I want to look at three things today. And the first one is this, the impact of how I react. John talked about waiting in the airport. We see the different reactions of people. That impacts others. If I'm angry at someone, I'm waiting for a flight, I'm going to take it out on someone, right? Or I'm going to overspend in my shopping or whatever it is. But we see with the people of Israel and Moses, it's the same situation. It's two completely different reactions. Moses is thirsty too. Moses is in the desert too. And Moses doesn't know what to do either. And the people of Israel, their reaction is to argue. Their reaction is to fight. Their reaction is to completely disrespect their leader. They don't go to Moses saying, Moses, how should we go about this? They don't go to Moses saying, what can we do? Let's come up with a solution. They go to Moses and they give out. Brothers and sisters, be very careful when you're in seasons like that or desert seasons. Be careful because we can become desperate. And our feelings can override our faith. We get so enthralled about what's going on. And Moses' reaction is to go directly to God. Now, if I was Moses, I would have effed out the Israelites. I would have gone off on one, wouldn't you? Yes, thank you. Someone's being truthful in the faith of God. I would have killed them. I go, Aaron, Miriam, shut up. You're wrecking my head. I'm thirsty too. I don't know what to do. I'm tired. I would have gone off on one. It would not have been a very holy moment. It would have been a terrible moment, and that's okay. That's what I would have done, but Moses does the complete opposite. He doesn't engage in their complaining. And watch this. Complaining keeps you captive. Remembering God's faithfulness sets you free. If Moses had engaged in the argument, he wouldn't have gone to God, and there wouldn't have been a miracle. Because he went to God, God spoke and Moses obeyed. Moses remembered God's faithfulness. Who led them out of Egypt? It was God. Who provided for them all the way? God. I know this is a heavy word, but I believe for some people prophetically, you're in your desert, you're in a season of waiting. And for some people, the reason why you're still in it is because you're complaining. Complaining keeps you captive up here, keeps you captive in here. And you can be fighting things in situations that haven't even happened. Do you ever have that with someone? I'd say about myself, oh, I'd never F someone out. I'd never go off on someone. I'd never hit someone. Oh, absolutely not. But I do it in my head. You don't know. You can go there in your mind. And what does it do? It keeps us captive. Keeps me focused on something that's not really the issue. It keeps me completely distracted from what God wants to do. It keeps us captive up here. Brothers and sisters, don't allow what you're feeling and your thoughts and what you're going through to keep you captive, to keep you in a prison. Remembering God's faithfulness sets you free. When something happens, like Moses, our go-to should be, let me pray to God about this. But sometimes our feelings take over. And sometimes we're completely suffocated by them. Be quick to go to God. Amen?
Amen.
It says this in the book of James. If you are angry, you cannot do any of the good things God wants done. And when it comes to anger, that's humiliation, being let down, rejection, betrayal, hurt, all of these things. If I allow those to take place in my heart, I can't do what God wants. I can't do the good. Because I'm operating out of that place. That's not showing God's love. That's not his kindness. That's not his grace. Anger is a very powerful emotion, isn't it? You've got to be really careful of that. So whatever you're waiting in, whatever you're going through, there is an impact of how you react. And because Moses was obedient, not only did God provide for Moses, he provided for the people of Israel. Your obedience can provide for other people. It's not just about you. There can be, we sing it, break every chain. The chains that God can break in your life can break others as well. Amen.
Amen.
So while we're waiting, brothers and sisters, let's be careful. Let's guard our hearts, yeah? Let's not go into complaining and be captive by that. Let's remember God's faithfulness. And let our first part of call be going to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number two that I want to look at is questioning God versus testing God. Yeah? And I'm going to look at the last verse that we read. It says this: Moses named the place Massa, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord here with us or not?" I want to look at the difference between questioning God versus testing God. Because if you're a Christian any length of time, if you're waiting for something long enough, if we're not careful, your heart can go from questioning God to testing God. It's really easy for that to happen. So questioning God is this. The kicker will work. Questioning God is when you want an answer. That's allowed. That's biblical. I'm allowed to go to God and say, "God, what do I do? How should I go about this? Who should I talk to?" I'm allowed to do that because I'm wanting God's answer and I'm wanting to be obedient to him. Testing God is different. Testing God is when you insist that God proves that he is trustworthy. And we see it with the people of Israel. Is God here with us or not? The heart is all wrong in it, isn't it? Is God with you in this or not? And what we see, Jesus, in his 40 days out in the desert, when the devil tempted him, Jesus answered, it is said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." We're not to test God, brothers and sisters. We have to be really careful on this. There's only one acceptable way that we can test God. Do we know what it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, people say amen.
Okay. What is this? Do we know? With our tithes. Who said that?
Go on, Julie, Bula Boscar, well done, she knows her Bible. Give her a round of applause. All right.
Here's what it says in the book of Malachi. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple." That's God's temple, amen? Amen?
Amen.
"If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the
test."
That's the only way that's acceptable to test God. Now, word of warning, bit of common sense and cop on and wisdom. That's not to give all your money to God, yeah? You need to pay a bill. You need to feed your kids. You need to put petrol in the car. You don't take that money and give it all to God, yeah? Like, we need to steward and be wise with things. But anything else, you do that and watch what God will do. He said, "Test me out." So that's the only thing that we can test God on. But when I was praying about this, God just spoke to me about our hearts behind questioning versus testing. And when our hearts move into a space in our minds where we start testing God, when we're frustrated, when we're discouraged, when we're disappointed, here's where it really goes. Here's what we start questioning God with. Is God meeting my expectations? And it's the wrong heart. Because in my season of waiting, my expectation might be, I thought I'd be over this by now. I thought God would have provided in a certain way. I thought God would have healed me or given me someone. And it goes from looking at God to looking at me and my life. It's the wrong question. And God gave me this question. This is what we should be asking. Am I meeting God's expectations? What does God expect of me? He expects me to love him. So if I love him, I spend time with him. God expects me to honour his word. So if he's asked me to do something, I should be doing it, right? God expects me to forgive the same way that he's forgiven me. What's God expecting of me in this waiting season? And I believe that God would say prophetically to some people, the reason, again, why you're caught in the season of waiting is your expectations are wrong. You're expecting God to do something. And what you should be asking is, am I meeting God's expectations in the season of waiting? What's he trying to teach me? What's he trying to do with me that prepares me for the next season? Who is this affecting? Because it's always bigger than us. What's he trying to do? And when it comes to questioning and testing God, a lot of the time it can be in our relationships, right? Where we're going, God, are you in this? And I just believe God spoke to me on this, actually this morning, where we see with Jesus, he had Peter and he had Judas. And Peter denied Jesus how many times?
Three
times. And Judas sold Jesus for how many pieces of silver?
30.
Okay.
But you know your Bible. Nice.
With Peter, he had a bad day. With Judas, he had a bad heart. When it comes to the relationships in your life, brothers and sisters, and you're asking God, God, are you still in this? What do you want me to do with it? Can I encourage you? Can I submit to you? Know the difference between someone having a bad day and someone else has a bad heart. If someone's having a bad day, you can restore that. If someone has a bad heart, you've got to release that to God. Yeah? So while we're waiting, let's make sure we're not going into testing God. Unless you want to do it financially, off you go. But we question God. And we surrender to his will and to his ways. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. The final one is this, search for the Lord. So something that comes up a lot for me as a pastor is people come to me and they say, I've made this decision, I've prayed about it, will you pray a blessing on it? Yeah? And one of the things that people miss a lot of the time is yes, they prayed about it, but they don't wait to hear what God says about it. They make a decision of what they think, or something shifts and changes and they're going, okay, I need to act now. And sometimes when I'm praying for them, if I'm honest, I'm going, I don't know if God's in this. I don't know. And here's what Moses says in the book of Numbers. The people of Israel come to him with a question. Here's what Moses says to them. Moses answered, wait here until I have received instructions for you from the Lord. When we're in a waiting season, whatever it is, brothers and sisters, you don't move until God tells you. Yeah? You don't do anything until God tells you. God tells you to go, you go. God tells you to stop, you stop. God tells you to reach out, you reach out. God tells you to block the person and delete their number, you don't do that. But until God tells you, don't do it. And I say it all the time, God is a God of clarity. He's not a God of confusion. He will confirm it. He will show you. He will give you a peace. Now, when there's peace of God, does that mean that you don't have any other feelings? No. I've had the peace of God and I've cried all the way to America and all the way back. Just because I have peace doesn't mean that I don't experience other feelings. But when God is in it, you'll know it. There'll be clear instructions on what to do. When you don't search for the Lord in something, when you don't wait, that's where we can get things really wrong. Here's what it says in 1 Chronicles. Search for the Lord and for his strength, hallelujah, continually seek him. We don't need our own strength. Judy spoke about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. I need God's strength when I'm waiting. Because if I don't do that, if I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make some stupid decisions. I'm going to act out of a place of desperation or rejection or hurt or confusion or insecurity or just being irritated. I'm not going to make a wise decision. That's why our walk with God is daily. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
I am daily, right?
Amen.
And here's the last thing in the book of John. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truths. When we are waiting, our minds can go somewhere else. When we're waiting, and we get desperate enough, or tired enough, or just frustrated, this is when we believe lies. This is when our focus can come off the Lord. This is when we just stop and we're going, I give up. And what we need the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, to guide us into all truth. God, give me the truth in this situation. What do you want me to do? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with me wherever you're at? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Do you know what day today is? The 30th of June. Do you know what God spoke to me on? He said this: you're halfway through the year. Tomorrow's the 1st of July. As the worship team comes up, what did you talk to God about on New Year's Eve? What did you start your year off on? What are you still waiting on? What have you done well with? What have you dropped the ball with? And every day we have a new chance with God, amen?
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. So you can do this any time. But today we're about to cross over into the second half of the year. It's a time to come back to God. It's a time to just center ourselves and say, where am I at with God? How have I handled this? And we're going to sing the song, Break Every Chain. And what I want to do is, as we're singing it, that the chains that have been put on us, or maybe we've kept them on us, that we sing them over us. We're singing for the chains of abandonment, hurt, discouragement, shame, guilt, disappointment. It's the name of Jesus that breaks them.
Amen.
Amen. So let's worship our God before we pray. Come on. Looking at the watch, because time is ticking. And when you look at a watch on your wrist, your head is looking down. And God would say to you, you need to stop watching the time. Time is in his hands. He holds your future. The clock is not ticking. It's the same as Michael's word he shared in the earlier services. Share again. You're not late. You're not late. And when you keep looking down at your watch, you're not looking up to your Father in heaven. Get your eyes off the time. Get it onto God. The second prophetic word too is, God is a God of repetition. He's so kind and so caring that he repeats things to us. We see it with Solomon. We see it with Peter. And for some people here, in your season of waiting, the reason you're still waiting is because God has asked you to do something and you haven't done it. God is reminding you today, do what I've asked you to do. When you do that, that's what will get you out of the season. Be obedient to the Lord. This is God repeating it to you. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you're in a season of waiting, whatever it is, whether it's long, short, but you're just saying, God, I need you in this. God, help me to react in the right way and come to you. Help me, God, to question you and not test you. And help me, Lord, to seek you until you speak. If that's you, wherever you are, and you want to pray that, just put a hand over your heart. I'm just going to pray. You're working, God. You work out all things for the good of those who love you. And we love you, Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, God, while we are waiting, we trust you. You are faithful. Your ways are higher than our ways. You see things that we don't see. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's for someone here today. God's removed someone from your life. It's their heart. You can't see their heart. There's conversations that were had. There's things that in their heart they said, that's why God's removed them from your life. Let them go. But while we are waiting, God, we wait for your perfect time. We trust your ways. God, help us to react in ways that are holy and pleasing to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, where we've gone wrong. We ask you, Lord, that in our conversations with you, that we would question, that we would wait for your answer. But God, let it never be a testing of you and your character. You are so good. You have never let us down. And God, we ask that as we seek you, that you would give us your strength. Give us the truth about what's going on in our lives. We don't want the lies. We want your truth. We want your ways. We submit this to you, Lord. We know that you have a plan and a future for us. It says in the book of Psalms that when we pray, that God's angels surround us. So as we pray, Lord, that your angels surround us right now. Protect us, give us your peace, give us your provision. We honor you and we love you, and the people of God said,
yeah.
Let's worship God again.
Yeah.
drop one last thing on you before you go. First of all, can we give it up for Dara? That's a great book of stories. During the week, I was on the phone to a friend from the United States of America. It'd be a long conversation. And in the end of the conversation, he shared with me a prophetic word that God had put in his heart for me and for my situation. But it was so living with me. I believe that it's a message for many of God's people. I believe it's a message for God's church. And it was simply this: God is the God of the late bloomer. Now, to those of you who to whom English doesn't make sense to you, if you're just learning English, it means that some flowers, they come out early and they're nice and bright, nice and early, but their petals fall off fairly quickly. But other flowers, you wait and wait and wait and wait, and then at the last moment, they bloom. God is the God of the late bloomers. Whether it is in your life, whether it is in the life of someone you love and you long for, whether you're a parent who's looking at your kids wondering, when is this ever going to come into blossom? When's it ever going to come into bloom? Remember this. Moses was 80 years of age when he met God at the burning bush. Jacob was a similar age when he made a run for it and he met God at Bethel. These were not young men. These were not young women that God did business with. They were late bloomers. So this is what I'd say to you. If you're struggling in an area of your life, trust God. There's good about to come through it. Good is yet to come to it. Good is yet to come to your kids. Good is yet to come to your family. Good is even yet to come in your life. God is the God of the late bloomer. Can they get an amen?
Amen.
Can you close your eyes with me just for 1 second, Father in heaven, for all of those today, Lord, who are longing to see your work and your faithfulness blossom in their lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would have patience and trust in you for your timing and for your purpose to come to pass in their lives. And God's people say,
amen. Amen.
Have hope. Have hope. I'm in my mid-50s, and I don't think God has finished with me yet.
Amen.
I think by God's grace, the best days are yet to come.
Amen. Amen.
You too.
Amen. Amen.